A neighbor of mine once had a deep freezer. And the reason for it is because he would take one of his cows, butcher it, and put the meat in this freezer, and over the course of the year, he would whittle it down. But when it came time to butcher next year's cow, last year's cow was still stuck in the bottom of the freezer. If you've ever had one, you know what happens when something is in the freezer for a while, particularly in the corner. You know that ice builds up on it, and you're not getting it out unless you take a hairdryer or an ice pick to get out the last package of roast beef or the last packets of bacon that's stuck in the corner. So in order to put the new cow into the freezer, he has to take an ice pick and a hairdryer in order to get last year's last piece of roast beef that's stuck in the corner to get it out, so that he might put the new cow, the new pig, whatever it was that he was getting in the freezer. So we all have this idea of having something stuck in the corner of the deep freeze, and it's surrounded and encrusted by ice. It's not getting out unless you put a lot of effort in to get the last roast out of the corner, which was always a good thing, because that was the roast that came to my house. So by all means, get it out of the freezer and give it to me. Well, in our text this morning, we all can imagine a roast in the deep freezer, but our text has something entirely different, and that's the human heart that is in the deep freeze, that has ice encrusted around it like the roast in the corner of the freezer. In our text from the Gospel of Mark, while Jesus is standing there with the man in the middle of church looking around at the people in anger, it deeply wounded him because the text says their hearts were hard. Stone hearts, ice hearts. That is what Jesus was dealing with in the synagogue. It wasn't the roast that was iced. It was the hearts of his people that he had called and created. But instead of having hearts of faith, their hearts were frozen solid. Now, just as my neighbor proceeded to go to work to get the roast out of the deep freeze, so too does Jesus begin to work upon the hearts of his people. And ultimately, it was his death, his sacrifice, and his resurrection was the ultimate work that broke our hearts wide open and that we became believers instead of defiers. Well, let me ask you a question. Everybody ready? How cold is your heart? How cold is your heart? How much ice has gathered over the last week, month, year? How much stubbornness is there? How hard-hearted is it? How much callousness have we allowed to form around our hearts? Callousness towards one each other and the plight of human beings? But more importantly, how much ice have we allowed to gather around our hearts when it comes to God? Jesus in their very synagogue, and yet they didn't care that God healed this man's hand. They griped he did it on a Saturday, because that's the way they always did it. So who is this guy to break our traditions? They didn't care about the miracle. They griped because he broke the rule. Frozen heart. They didn't care that he was feeding the disciples. A miracle of 5,000 people fed with a few loaves and fish. They griped because that's not the way they always did it. They didn't care about the kingdom of God coming near. They didn't care about the demoniacs that were getting healed. They were griping because that's not the way we do it. But it deeply wounds Jesus. It cuts his soul and his spirit because of all the people who should have seen and understood. Certainly it would have been his people. And yet they are Captain Clueless, stone hearts instead of hearts of faith. So allow me to ask my question again. How cold is your heart? If Jesus were to stand before us and a man with a withered hand being healed, would we marvel at the person before us, or would we gripe because he's not following the bulletin? Would we care if he talked for 45 minutes, ending up with our hearts on fire, with our spirits being quickened as he opens up the scriptures to us, or would we gripe because we didn't get to lunch on time? If Jesus was here among us in the flesh, bleeding on the carpet, would we not fall at his feet and worship him for his cross, or would we gripe because we got to get the carpet cleaned? So how cold is your heart? The psalmist says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Then why are we holding so much onto the yesterday and the 20 years ago? The psalmist says, behold today. And yet we are so concerned about the way it was 10, 15, 20 years ago. The prophet says, "Behold, I'm about to do a new thing, says the Lord. But I really like the old thing, God. I really like the way we did it before, not the new way that you are doing today in the here and in the now. I don't like it that you are changing us, God, because I really like the way we always did it." And there's the old stone heart showing up before us. Because to be stone-hearted is to be stubborn. And to be stubborn is a refusal to change. To be defiant, to dig in your heels and to fight and to resist because, well, I'm not changing. And yet we are exactly like the Pharisees. If anybody should know better, it should be us. Because you know what? We've got the Word. We've got the Spirit of Jesus Christ. But yet when Jesus asks us to change, what do? That's not the way we've always done it. And I wonder with our cold hearts, the size of the dagger we plunge into his soul. Because we just won't change. But the love of God is not going to let us go even unto ourselves. And that means that every time we allow our hearts to go cold, to be made of stone, that is when God gets the hairdryer and the ice pick out. Through his Son and through his Spirit, God goes to work on the human heart to change even us, the frozen chosen. And believe me, as Presbyterians, we have earned that nickname. But in the hands of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, God can change the frozen chosen into little Jesuses. Because last time I checked, there was no heart of stone in him. There was no frozen spirit. There was no defiance and resistance. His prayer was always, "Thy will be done." Who better to help you when the heart starts to get a little chilly? So, my friends, the Son and the Spirit of God are the ice pick and the hairdryer to melt the stubborn, hard-hearted thing that beats in our chests. Because the love of God demands, requires that we love God in return, that we love one another. So the good news is, even when we become hard-hearted and frozen, there is always the power and the work of God to change us and to bend us back into being children of God. That's the wonderful news. Because even when we at our weakest, when we have zero faith, when the world has pressing down on us, it means press on, because you're never going to crush us. Because it's the power of God holding us. Go ahead and throw us down. You're never going to throw us out. Because it's in God's hands, not ours. It means you can hunt us, but you're never going to destroy us. Because we might be clay jars, but we've got the awesome treasure of Almighty God. And that means you can't screw you up. And that's what we've been screaming about for 2,000 years. Even when you are at your worst or your least faithful, even when you are the roast in the deep freeze, God's got pick and hairdryer in hand. And through the work of the Spirit and the Son, I'm pretty sure he can fix your heart. So, my friends, how warm is your heart? It was probably a little bit chilly a few minutes ago. I hope it's a little bit warmer now. And I hope in the next hour, the next day, the next week, it starts to get a little less cold and there starts to be a little more puddle at your feet. Because that means God is working in you. So, my friends, if you are being tested or tried, tempted, if the world is pushing down on you, if somebody is throwing you around, blowing through the winds, the good news is always we might be clay jars, but we are in the hands of an almighty and a loving God. So there will always be hope. There will always be possibility, because the last word ain't our word. The last word is his. So, my friends, this is the moment when we lose the frozen hearts that beat in our chest and we allow God to go to work right here, right now. And we start to become a people who adapt instead of a people who fight. A people who go along with God's lead, not gripe because he's not doing it the way it was 30 years ago. And if God wants to change everything, our prayer should be, "Thy will be done, O God, not my will, O God." But it means we start to become a people who live for God, and not a people who live for the way we've always done it. So, my friends, I lay the choice before you. How warm is your heart? It's time to start burning with the Holy Spirit. May God be given the glory and the honor and the praises of his people for giving us Son and Spirit that we might live. And all God's people say together,